Here's the thing. Summer always exposes the truth about your wardrobe because there are the clothes you think you wear, and then there are the three things you actually reach for over and over again because they're comfortable, easy, and somehow still make you feel put together. That's exactly why I keep coming back to Quince. Quince people, I feel like they've mastered that balance between looking elevated and being genuinely so wearable. They're like the kind of pieces you throw on without thinking, and somehow you always get complimented when you're wearing them. I always get complimented when I'm wearing a Quince piece. And let me tell you what, summertime means I am loving and living in Quince's linen pieces. First of all, let me tell you about these linen pieces. They look so chic, like summering in capri. And also they're lightweight, breathable, and perfect for those days like lately when it's been very hot, when it's way too hot to wear anything complicated. They're so gorgeous. Go online, go on their website and check it out. I promise you'll be obsessed. The linen, the pieces, the sets. Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, beautiful. And the one thing I really appreciate about Quince is the value. They use premium materials like 100% European linen, organic cotton, washable silk, and soft denim, but without the luxury brand markup that usually comes with those fabrics. In fact, most of their products are priced about 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And the reason they can do that is because they worked directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for the quality of the product rather than a giant brand name attached to it. They've also expanded way beyond clothing. You can find home goods, bedding, kitchen essentials, and a bunch of other elevated everyday items that make life feel a little nicer.
Yeah, and fam, we are talking quality. Okay, we are talking luxurious. I recommend Quince to everyone. If I was still a wardrobe stylist, I'd be getting all of my clients' pieces from Quince. Like I said, their linen sets have basically become my summer uniform, and I have a couple pieces that have reached that status where they're always being worn in the laundry or waiting to be worn again. They're just the best. Go online, I'm telling you. So many amazing things on Quince. You got to check it out. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/momdad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/momdad for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/momdad.
Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Welcome home.
It's your mom.
And your dad.
And today's going to be a different sort of episode.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so let's break this down. We recorded an episode about a day and a half ago.
Yeah.
And that episode, we did not do Cast Bios Part 2 because in the days leading up to it, Evan and I started to have some conversations.
Yeah.
We dabbled into watching some Secret Lives. We found out more information, and then, of course, as I'm sure many of you know, a few days ago, we started seeing more allegations coming out with allegations about Dakota, allegations about Taylor Frankie Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the, like, how serious these, because of the seriousness of this and also the fact that it was ongoing investigation into these allegations, we did a podcast. We recorded a podcast all about how we came to a mutual decision that we were not going to recap this season of The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
We felt like, again, because of how serious the situation is, how serious the implications of it are, because of the nature of our type of podcast, where we typically, you know, we're talking, we're not a news podcast.
Yeah.
We're not a legal podcast. I felt, to be completely transparent, I was wanting to make sure that because of how sensitive and how serious this was, that I was being responsible podcasting. Mm. And I just felt, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm equipped as far as knowing everything that's going on. I don't feel equipped having the knowledge legally. I don't feel equipped, like, I'm not a therapist to be able to speak into the domestic violence. Like, I want to be so careful and sensitive. We didn't want to do anything that would add harm to the situation. And it almost felt like, you know, at the time, a few days ago, so much has happened since, but a few days ago, we were talking about how it was like, okay, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
But what we do know from just watching a little bit of Secret Lives was that we saw two people who absolutely needed help.
Yeah.
We saw children that needed to be protected. And I saw Taylor Frankie Paul frequently talking about that she struggled with her mental health.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't, with our style of podcasting, where we have silly, silly fun, you know, joking, you know, pulling someone's leg, you know, not news, not legal, not therapist, all of this, we just could not justify doing a recap around it. And obviously we knew the show that had been filmed was not going to be talking about any of this, but because this is so sensitive and these implications are so serious and these are human beings and there are children involved and there are people struggling with their mental, I mean, there's so much that it was like, even though the actual season of The Bachelorette probably isn't going to show much of that, it's going to be
knowing it. Yeah.
It's knowing it. Also, it being the lead. Also, it being like because this is, it's an ongoing investigation and more is coming out, as we found out today. Mm-hmm. We're recording this late Thursday night. You know, it was like, I would feel irresponsible not staying on top of everything that was going on. And I didn't feel equipped to do so. So,
yeah, we talked about like, how also, you know, like echoing everything is just saying, but like also there's this level too of like, you know, there's so many great podcasts out there that are just amazing at like breaking news, at breaking down what's actually going on.
Therapy podcasts,
but even just people who are really good at just kind of going, here's the facts, here's what's going on, here's how to break it down. You know, there are people that have like the Google alerts on when anything drops and they tell you exactly what's going on, or super, and like with Chad, it's like super analytical, breaks it down, you know, all this stuff. It's like, that's not our world. Our world is silly goose, chill, funny, light energy. And we just knew too, also with like recapping it as it was like, we would have to have this asterisk next to everything, because we love to get lost in the sauce with these shows too. We like to be like, true love does exist. And, you know, we like to kind of pretend that it's actually all happening all the time. And that like, we really do focus on like, do they have a strong connection? Do they have a good chemistry? Could this actually work? Could we see them together? And we just knew with everything going down too, before even the most recent stuff, just with like the surrounding rumors and things happening, we were like, dude, we can't just relax and be like, are they good together? We would be like, there's so many all outside factors that are adding into this that we couldn't do it responsibly. We would, because we'd probably put out episodes and be 3 days behind on a fact that changes everything about our episode.
And again,
we'd have to constantly apologize, sorry guys.
Serious.
We didn't know.
It's super so serious.
So it was just also like, it's just not our style. And so we came to the conclusion like, hey, we're sorry, but we're not gonna be able to do it this season.
Yeah. So we basically
recorded a whole thing about it.
we spent, I would say, maybe like 40 minutes
seriously
on the podcast talking about why we felt like, you know, I was talking about also just like having a conviction behind something. I felt like watching this, I'm like, oh my God, there's all of this stuff happening. And it almost feels like observing a train wreck and me like standing idly by and just not helping.
Yeah.
And it felt like this is not entertainment. Like this is, we spent a really long time talking about it and breaking it down. And then, of course, today, a horrific video came out, and you know, all I can say is I really, really, really hope that everyone involved gets help.
Yeah.
And I really, really hope that those children are protected. And I am extremely glad that this season got canceled. Obviously, clearly we were on the train of saying we're not going to recap it at all because it's not okay. And so to see that it got canceled, it was like, again, we're dealing with people who are not well. We're dealing with people who need help. We're dealing with, then there's children involved. There's just so much. And it was like, this is not okay. So I'm very, very happy that it was canceled. But at the same time, it's like now watching this, you're finding out more and more behind the scenes that producers knew everything.
I mean,
producers knew this and were having the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, that things were removed apparently from finales of when this
definitely producers of that. Are they the same producers?
It's the same network.
Yeah, so they knew what was going on.
Then you're like, okay, so all of a sudden they're pulling this and saying
the Mormon Wives show was shut down, but the release was still going through with Bachelorette. And then once the video came out, then they pull it. So it was like, obviously everything was hitting the fan and they were hoping they could still get it out.
But I'm just saying too, I heard, and again, I know there are so many, this is a reason too, where there's so many things that are floating around that I can't keep track of. And I also, one of the biggest things we talked about in our last episode was, because this is such a sensitive topic and this is just something that is so horrific.
Yeah.
I didn't feel equipped because I don't want to say anything that's going to be triggering or something that is going to cause anyone any harm who has experienced DV or who knows someone that has. Like, I'm like, this is something that I was just, you know,
it's a completely different category.
It's
issues.
It's just, it's so horrific. And I was like, I don't want to say anything. So forgive me if I'm stumbling around my words. It's just that I just want to be so careful with how I touch this. And I don't know. But again, so there's rumors circulating. I don't know what's a rumor. I don't know what's true. But I had heard that during the Secret Lives reunion that a lot of this was discussed and that they cut it out. So it's like those producers knew. They're all on the same network. There's no way that the Bachelor producers didn't know this.
Sure.
And so they, because of the outpouring of people being like, absolutely not.
Right.
I believe that's what it is. I mean, maybe it was something else, but I'm assuming that's what it is. They pulled it and said, we're canceling. Now the question is, what does this look like moving forward? And also, is this the end of the franchise? Or is this like a huge moment in reality TV where us as an audience is observing how irresponsible reality TV is so often? How putting people in situations, people who are not healthy, people who are not okay, people who should not be platformed. Like, is this going to be a shift that we see?
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly hope so, but I don't know. I have a little more that I want to say on this. And I know we're in the middle of like talking some serious stuff, but we do have to take a quick pause and then let's dive back into some thoughts. On a warmer note, on a lighter note, dog parents. I mean, is there anything better than a dog? Is there anything that will warm your heart more than a dog? And I need to know if other dog parents do this, because I realized the other day that I have full conversations with our dogs like they're our human roommates. Like, I'm talking full conversations. Oh, yeah. Like, I ask their opinion about dinner plans. I'll narrate to them when I'm moving about the house. In fact, yesterday I cried because I was asking, I cried while speaking to them, asking them their opinions on a certain situation that I should proceed with. And then I look at my phone and I realize I also have like 3,000 photos of our dogs. I'm a little bit obsessed, okay? But if you're a dog parent, you get it. They're family. And when you love them that much, you start caring about everything, especially with their eating, which is why we started feeding our pups Ollie.
They love Ollie.
They love it.
And if anyone understands being dog obsessed, it's Ollie. Ollie makes fresh dog food recipes developed by real chefs and backed by vet nutritionists using high quality ingredients. They're really focused on making meals that are thoughtfully made and tailored to your dog. When you sign up, you tell them about your pup. Things like their age, weight, activity level, and they create a personalized meal plan with perfectly portioned meals. Everything arrives ready to go, and they even include a storage container called, drumroll please, Puptainer.
So cute.
And a scoop. So serving is super, super simple. And one of the coolest things is that through the Ollie app, you can actually check in on your dog's health with real vets. You upload a photo and their team can help check things like weight, digestion, teeth, and coat.
And I will say, since switching to Ollie, our dogs are fully obsessed with the food. Okay, like the excitement at mealtime is dramatic, to say the least.
And even not mealtime, they're yelling at me all the time, like, get me more.
There's pacing, there's staring. It's a full emotional, joyful experience. And honestly, that gives me peace of mind too. Knowing they're eating something fresh and thoughtfully made makes me feel like we're taking care of them the way that they deserve. And they love the taste of it on top of it too. And since feeding them Ollie, we have seen a major difference. I'm talking shiny coats. Our older girl, Ashley, has more pep in her step. Mm-hmm. Good poops, better breath. Hello, we all love Ollie so much. So get ready for both you and your pup to be obsessed. Head to ollie.com/momdad. Tell them all about your dog and use code momdad to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today. Plus, they offer an obsession guarantee. If you're not completely obsessed, you'll get your money back. That's ollie.com/momdad and enter code momdad to get 60% off your first box. Ollie, feed the obsession. Okay, so back to it. So the Bachelorette is officially canceled.
It's wild.
The season is canceled. And
I mean, it's crazy. It's one thing to like, just like when you think about it conceptually, it's like, it's one thing if like, oh, we were about to film or we started filming, but to be like the whole thing was in the bag and like 3 days or whatever before it's a couple days before it's supposed to drop, the whole thing's gone. That really throws everything into a tailspin.
Well, you know, there's the question of there are these group of men who filmed for numerous months. And first of all, they were planning on getting, from what I heard, their bachelor from that group of men.
Is there a dude that made it all the way to the end and they are like together? I mean, it's like, who is that guy?
I think so.
Right? Who knows what the reality is, but there's a guy that at least made it to like the very end that like probably proposed.
Yeah.
And is like now just like, okay, like, I think, is he the next bachelor? It's like, who knows?
I think more. Well, but we don't know him. So he's not going to be the next bachelor because we don't know
there's
him.
There's no popularity thing
there. And so, you know, the question is, are they going to hire another bachelorette and bring back all these guys
so that they
have a second chance? Because it's like, you know, a lot of people, like, they'll quit their jobs to film. And this is like how they're about to.
Could you do it again? I mean, could you quit your job twice? Or, you know what I mean? Like people who take leaves on their jobs or even emotionally. It's like
I don't know, going through
having your heart, you know, the people who get cut, right? You know, going through having, getting your heart broken, falling in love with someone and then and just put you back in. Like, that'd be wild.
In
like,
my opinion, this needs to be. Obviously, listen, you all know that we love recapping The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And in the portion of our episode that we recorded a day and a half ago that we're not going to put out because, you know, now it doesn't make any sense. We were talking about how when we made the decision to not recap this season, that we were like, it's a little like we're a little shaken up by
it.
Oh,
big time.
Because there's the concept of this was like the bread and butter. This is like it's the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. Like this is what we always do. But in my opinion, the fact that we have gotten here, the fact that this went unchecked, which, by the way, I just want to side note this. I'd like to apologize for not doing my due diligence because obviously there was things with Dakota, with Taylor Frankie Paul that were like they were out there already. And I feel like I messed up by not doing my due diligence and the fact that it was like, I don't know, even having opinions and thoughts without knowing things. I don't know. So, but then on the production side, they did know a lot of stuff.
Of course.
And the fact that this went forward anyways, in my opinion, I'm like, the show needs to be done. Like, this is where we're at now. The fact that this was about to happen and was about to happen with someone in a lead position who needs help and...
Well, and they were clearly doing this to get a bump viewership.
Yes. So it's just...
So it backfired in the biggest way humanly possible.
Yes. And you know what? I just have to say this too. The video from a few years ago that was released today is so upsetting to see. I just have been thinking like all day since seeing it. I've just been thinking about, of course, there's TFP, there's the kids, there's all, you know, but I'm also thinking about all of the people seeing this, all of the viewers of the show who are DV survivors, like how devastating this is, how upsetting, how triggering. I don't know. I just want to send like so much love to any of our listeners who are feeling like so rattled and upset. Obviously, yeah. I think we're all upset seeing this, but for people who like it hits in a personal way, I don't know. I just wanted to like send like my love to them. And just so everyone knows, I'm going to be putting in the episode notes some resources for domestic violence. But man, it's just,
it's wild on so many levels.
I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, there's nothing to say.
Except that I am very, very glad that this season is not going to be airing. And I really hope everyone gets help and that the children are protected and that people who need to be held accountable are held accountable. People who need to get help, get help, and the children are taken care of. So, and that we get word from the fucking show, man, the producers, like we need like
what
deliver. We'll deliver answers too. Like why, how much did you know? Why? I mean, obviously we know that it's all about money. And
well, there's just so many people though. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like they knew about her history. They knew about all this stuff. They'd been gone down with them and the family, you know, this arrest was what from 3 years ago. So it's like they knew this was all known.
I know.
I'm just curious if all the people, they could have chosen so many different people. It just seems like a wild choice, I guess.
I don't know.
Because it's in the house and they're trying to make all this money, but it's just like,
I don't know, man.
You'd think that there'd be so many options if you wanted to go celebrity world that didn't have all this. And
I
it's
know.
So now it's like, dude, now it just puts the whole franchise in like a death spiral where you're just like, all right, you know what I mean? Who knows what the next move is?
Yeah. And it had already been that way.
Right. That's what I mean.
And
it's like,
it almost feels like, and I could be wrong, but it almost feels like this was to them their last like push like, to making it work. And so they were willing to compromise.
Like they will justify it on the back end.
Exactly.
Kind of
and put people who shouldn't be platformed in platform positions, people who are not well, like, right. I mean,
if it makes a zillion dollars, maybe we can justify
we're
it on the back end.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think went down. So
big swing and a miss.
Well, family. So we weren't planning on covering it anyway.
So
and
there you go.
It's canceled. So I said at the top of the episode that this is going to be a different type of episode, and it's because we're kind of going to do a stitched together Frankenstein-y type of situation. Like I said, we recorded an episode like a day ago. But us talking about not covering it doesn't make sense. Yeah. So we wanted to come in at the beginning of this and have a current conversation with you all. But we also recorded the other half of the episode.
So we're kind of like what we just talked about replaced the middle section that was there before of us talking about it earlier. So now we've kind of replaced that part, but we still want to show you the kind of beginning and the end that was unrelated. That was just us talking about life and
we're bad. Bad podcasters. We don't. This doesn't make any sense.
So basically, guys.
Okay, so this is what we're
gonna do. We had a episode. There was a beginning spot that was just us talking and having fun. Then there was an ending spot where we do call homes and we talk about life. There was a middle spot where we talked about all the stuff we just talked about, but it was outdated because now we have updates. So what we just did is we gave you the updated vibes on what was originally in the middle.
Yes.
And we'll show you the rest of the episode now.
So if you're watching on the YouTube, you're going to see us in different clothes because it's from a different day. So this is what's going to happen.
We're going to start you at the
other episode. So you're going to hear the intro music and then you're going to hear us have a lighthearted conversation.
Yes.
For like, 10 to 15 minutes. And then future Evan and Jess are going to pop in and be like, okay, here's the part where we were going to talk, where we talked about TFP.
Right.
And then we're going to bump into, go back in time and have a little conversation about what we're going to be covering.
Yes.
And then call homes.
Yes.
And then I think future Evan and Jessica maybe will pop in at the very end to see and ask, did any of this make sense to all of
even
you? Or was this the most confusing episode of all
time?
It
is what it is.
But we're about to play that intro music again from that episode. We love you all so much.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. We're going to have an episode next week coming out on Friday, I believe. There's a chance it could be delayed because your dad's going to be in Australia. So you might have to be patient with us again. But after that, we're going to get back to regularly scheduled programming and be dropping midweek episodes again. We're going to talk about this later in the episode, but I think we're going to cover Love is Blind. Maybe starting next week, we shall see.
That's if the kangaroos don't get the Wi-Fi cable. They don't bite through the Wi-Fi cable.
Oh, sure.
It's bad out there,
because you're
guys.
In Australia.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I had to do it.
I don't know if any of this makes sense, but we love
you. They follow.
We love you all. Your mom is tired. All right, and I'm sorry if it don't make any sense. But you know what?
Here's
Here we go.
Top of the last episode.
Yeah. So, and intro music.
Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom
and your dad
and family. I gotta tell you, your dad and I were just like cackling because I'm wearing shorts today, and I often forget about my like tattoos in certain places, like the ones that are behind me.
Yep,
I never remember the tattoos that are behind me.
Well, I get one.
I mean, who knows?
I guess for everybody else.
I got a couple behind me, but I forgot about my ankle. So my first tattoo is a peacock feather, and I got it right when I was 18 years old.
Yes.
I don't think I've told this story before. I got it right when I was 18 years old, and I just desperately wanted a tattoo. And the only way I could get a tattoo is if I made it somehow religious.
Yeah, of course.
So else my parents were
It's the sales technique.
And so I was like, okay, well, and so I put a little verse below this peacock feather, if you can see it. Put a little verse. To be quite honest with you, don't remember what the verse says. I don't even kind of want to look it up because I'm just kind of scared at this point now to see even what I was thinking. But
and the Lord will judge you and throw you into a lake of fire. It's just like the gnarliest.
That's why I'm too scared to look it up. But anywho.
And his legions will descend upon the earth like 1,000 arrows. Leave no one behind.
Stop, it's too real. Stop. Okay. But anywho, so.
With a horse of 1,000 heads and an angel with eyes like blood red.
So it might be a verse like that. Anywho, so I ended up, okay, so I got this peacock feather because I was thinking about this and we were just cracking up because bless my sweetheart. The reason I got it was I really was struggling with, you know, just, so I just keep laughing, sorry. I was really struggling with like physical appearance. Growing up in Orange County, kind of the area we were in, the fixation was so obsessed with what you look like. Yeah, not caring about anything on the inside. No, doesn't matter if you're a good person or not. It was all just about like, are you hot? You know what I mean? Are you attractive? Are you this, that, and the other? And I really, really struggled with it. My insecurities was just constantly just eating away at me. And I wanted to get a tattoo to remind me that it doesn't matter what's on the outside.
Right.
What's on the inside that matters. That. Bless my sweetheart.
Very beautiful.
So I thought, I'm like, you know what? A peacock. A peacock's a perfect example. The most beautiful bird, but it can't fly. A peacock can fly.
Right. That was a mistake.
So I literally got a peacock feather being like, well, you know, a peacock can't even fly. They can. Also,
it was before Google was like as popular.
Apparently I couldn't pull out an encyclopedia. That,
we're older than you think we are. And it's one of those things where back in those days, you would just kind of go with what someone told you. You like nowadays we just have our phones and we just immediately Google any question.
Uh-huh.
Back then it was like if someone told you something that you wanted to hear, you just were like, cool.
Yeah, I was like, one person told me randomly that they don't often fly. And so I was like, oh, they can't.
Right.
And apparently as well, I'm just out here. I guess last week I said that possums don't carry diseases. They do. So I'm out here just spreading false animal facts. Well, we still adore them. They're still precious babies.
You know what I mean?
They're precious babies, but I'm just out here spreading false animal facts and getting them tattooed on my body. So
yeah,
there's
one
that
was negative, one was positive. Yeah, you're just misinformed with some of your animals, but you know what? I think it's going to be okay. But also it's very funny that when you're young, all you care about is getting a tattoo, not what the tattoo is even about.
No.
Like, you're like trying to sell your parents on an idea. Like, you're like, I gotta get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Which one can I get?
Yeah.
Which one can I convince my parents to get? I'm not even that into it, but I just want one so bad. Very funny, very young to do that. Cause I remember doing that with my parents too. I had all these like ideas about like music notes going down my arm and thinking like that would be cool. Like, and then luckily I got talked out of it, but like I was just trying to get a tattoo.
Of course.
How do I get one?
You know what though? I'll tell you this, is my peacock fact false? Yes. Do I like the tattoo? No, I think it's done very poorly actually, but it's kind of funny. Like it's
a story
and then I think about it sometimes. I look at it once, often I forget about it, and then every once in a while I get a glimpse at it and I get a giggle and
that
I'm like,
funny.
Oh, we do need to take a quick pause. So we are going to be doing some call homes in a little bit. We're going to be doing some call homes, and you know, often in call homes we'll have a question or two about parenting. So I'll ask the parents now this question: has anyone else gone down the rabbit hole of reading the label on kids' vitamins? Because I did recently and it was a little shocking. A lot of them are basically candy. I mean, they taste like candy because they're packed with sugar, artificial dyes, and all kinds of stuff that honestly makes me feel like, wait, is this actually helping my kiddo? That's why we were really excited when we found Hiya. They created a kids vitamin that focuses on real nutrition, zero sugar, no gummy additives, and none of that artificial junk you see in a lot of traditional kids vitamins. And somehow they still make them taste good, okay? Like the kids actually want to eat these vitamins. Ember loves them. And the first bottle even came with stickers so she could decorate it, which made it instantly feel like her vitamin bottle. She put Vitamin Queen in stickers on her bottle. That was her choice.
Love it. Yeah. What's cool about Hiya is the thought behind the formula. They looked at what modern kids' diets can be missing and worked with pediatricians and nutrition experts to create a vitamin that actually fills those nutritional gaps. Each chewable includes a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables, plus 15 essential vitamins and minerals. Everything is non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-friendly, gelatin-free, and nut-free. Hiya has also received the Clean Label Project's highest purity award, and they test every batch for heavy metals and contaminants, which as a parent is something I really, really appreciate. And instead of plastic bottles piling up, you get a reusable bottle with your first order and then eco-friendly refill pouches that get delivered each month.
And here's something every parent needs to hear if getting your kids to eat vegetables feels like an impossible daily battle. Hiya's Kids Daily Greens Plus Superfoods is a total game changer. It's basically chocolate milk stuffed with veggies. It's a greens powder that's packed with 55 plus whole food sourced ingredients. Just mix one scoop with milk or a milk alternative and watch them actually enjoy something that's secretly fueling their growing bodies. Ember's obsessed with it, which we are so happy about. 55 plus whole food source ingredients, like, oh my gosh, incredible. And we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/momanddad. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momanddad and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, now going back to the past. I get a good little memory. Yeah.
Well, like, nothing compares to one of my best friends, his tattoo, when we were, he was the first one to get one.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know, we were 16 maybe.
Yeah.
And we went to some sketchy one near a Taco Bell somewhere. And he got, and again, he's like not religious at all anymore and like all this stuff, but he got like a full.
I mean, entire side
entire
piece.
Entire side piece. That
full
said
side
like
piece.
Faith and grace, like in a cross, not Enneagram. What are they called?
An ambigram is like when you, it's like
when you can read it
backwards and backwards.
It's the worst tattoo
it's
anyone's ever got. It's also the biggest.
It's so it's, big. And my most favorite moment is he went and got it and all of us were so excited because he was like the first.
Right.
We're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're like, this is cool. Like two, 3 years before anyone
shows
else got a
tattoo. He shows up with it and all of us are kind of like, whoa, it's really big and it doesn't look great. And I will never forget.
Really hard to like
I will never forget him walking up to the mirror and lifting it up. Like lifting up his shirt.
Thousands of times.
Thousands of times.
He would just kind of walk by and just like trying to check it because he knew something was off. Like he knew it was bad and he would just kind of trying to go like, am I crazy? No, it's good, right? It's awesome.
In
it's
like,
awesome.
In like a 2 hour period, I saw him check it in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like 15 times and he'd be like, it looks great, right? It looks great.
It this way, it's
and then
cool.
Right before we left his house, he was like, you guys, I hate it. And that was day one.
Day
and
one.
Oh my God.
Takes up his entire side.
But it's so big, I don't think he ever got it removed
no,
or like covered.
I'm sure he still has it. I mean, like, to get that removed would take days of removal and like he would be passing out in pain. And you can't cover it too, because it's like blue black tattoo. You're covering your entire side. Faith and grace. I'm aggressive about my
faith and
about
grace.
My kindness about God's goodness is pissed off. Look at the size of this shit. It's so funny.
Hey, you guys. Guess what? I'm anxious.
Everything's
okay.
Totally fine.
You literally physically see me. I feel like I'm shaking. The past week,
yeah.
Evan has been observing this. I have been riddled with anxiety yeah. and anxious energy. Anyone else? I can't. I'm like shaking. And you want to yeah. hear something? Mm-hmm. You want to hear about the madness that I allowed for myself this morning? Because I was like, I'm shaking. I'm so anxious. I'm trying to calm myself down. I'm like, I'm going to turn on. The Nature of Daylight, on The Nature of Daylight by Max Richter, you know.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry.
From Hamnet.
Yes.
From Arrival.
Yes.
Hey, I'm getting ready in the madness that I'm allowing for myself. I'm getting ready in the bathroom. Yeah. Start off anxious. Turn on some gorgeous orchestral music. Mm-hmm. I'm sobbing getting ready. So now I'm anxious and I'm fragile.
Yeah, why did you do that? That's an interesting move. You should have put it on something fun and pop, right? Just to kind of lift your spirits.
I know. I always do
but
this.
That's kind of like a version of the like get
I
broken up
this.
With. Sit in front of the TV and watch sad movies about love. I guess maybe there is kind
well,
of
well, with an anxiety thing, I guess if you were to match that equally, I'd turn on like anxious music.
Yeah.
But I turn on really this like the most emotional piece you can think of. I mean, what a piece.
Yeah.
What a piece. And now connected to, I don't know if any of you all, trigger warning before you see Hamnet, check out what it's about. But talk about one of the most incredible films I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
I'll start crying right now.
Yeah,
the last
ball,
10
that's...
minutes of Hamnet with that song. Probably.
If you want to see maybe the best acting performance anyone's ever given, Jesse Buckley's performance might be the greatest acting performance. Like, you can't get better. You can just get different. It's transformative.
The fact that Jesse Buckley won, I was so, yeah. I was relieved. I was like, I have never witnessed.
Because I think Hamnet won nothing else, right?
I don't think so. Right, maybe it, like, maybe it was a, no, not costume. Yeah, I think yeah, maybe like, it was maybe, was one, maybe one or two other
she
things.
She deserved it, man.
But Jesse Buckley, wow. By the way, speaking of the Oscars.
Yes.
I don't know if you happened to see it because it was all kind of a rush and she was somewhat in the background. But Miss Ember, yes. Our kiddo, was in the opening segment of the Oscars with Conan chasing him around. Yes. So I don't know if you watched the Oscars, but if you want to check it out on YouTube, I know they have
the clips there
where you can see, and there's a couple scenes where you like really see Ember.
You see her, you see her multiple times running. The one in the very first scene, she's the first one through the door. And then there's a second one where she's the first or second one through this hall. And then the third one that's just really good is when he's sitting down at the chair speaking, I think in Norwegian, doing
it's
a movie
sentimental
thing.
Value. Yeah.
They cut to the kids and she's dead center and you see her right there. Yeah. So watch the clip. It's awesome.
And then what they got to do is they got to then live at the Oscars, yes. take it from the clip to actually running through the aisles, yes. onto the stage. It was really cool. We got to go to the Oscars, yeah. which was crazy.
Very cool.
Ember was never more excited. I mean, she was so happy. Yeah. She was so thrilled. She had so much fun with all the kids. Conan is the most wonderful.
He's awesome.
Person ever. Like, he is so, so wonderful. So that was a
very cool.
And by the way, speaking of Ember, I don't know if you all watch High Potential, but yeah. check out the episode of High Potential that just aired this week because Miss Ember is at the beginning of yeah. it. She's
on a tear, man.
There is a lot of stuff that, in fact, after we record this, I'm taking her on set to film. Yeah. There's a lot of really cool stuff that she has filmed and stuff that's coming up that, you know, we can't talk about because stuff takes,
yeah,
you know, a year or whatever to drop. But anywho.
She's booked and busy, baby.
She's booked and busy.
She's killing it. We're proud.
So proud. Okay. So we need to talk.
Yeah.
We need to talk. Okay, family, it is your future mother and father here. We're coming to you from the future. You were in the past. And this is the part where we started talking about Taylor Frankie Paul and how we had decided to not do the season of The Bachelorette. So that's what was happening right here.
We already covered that now.
Should I play Jeopardy music? And then, and now what you're about to hear, now we're about to go back in the past. Oh. And we're picking up from a part where we were talking about the fact that it was a little jarring to not now be doing The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Because, you know, full transparency, we were like, oh my gosh.
We've never done that. Is this gonna
affect yeah. our numbers? You know, it's gonna be a thing,
yeah.
but we needed to stand by our convictions. But it's gonna be a little rattling not to do The Bachelorette. So we're gonna be talking about that and also the upcoming shows that we're interested in covering and your thoughts. So enjoy going back to the past and then hearing some call homes after. Yeah. So this feels crazy because I think this has always been really the bread and butter of
this is the first.
Is Bachelor and Bachelorette, like yes. recapping everything that's in the veins of Bachelor and Bachelorette. And this is the first time that that's not going to happen. So it feels a little rattling.
For sure.
Yes. So hopefully you're down to go on a kind of new journey with us, but also not new because we're thinking about recapping Love is Blind
right.
since we weren't. because that's just what we do.
We're bad at this, to be honest. We're kind of bad at podcasting. Everyone else is very good at this. Like, they're keeping up on this and that. And then we're just kind of like, you know what? Sorry.
You know what? I'm gonna get up on a little soapbox. Whoa. Quick, and I'm gonna use this.
We have a little ottoman thing here. If you want to get on top,
should
of
I
that.
Stand on that?
I think
I'll be out of frame. You know what we are?
We are
for those individuals when you're having a day where you're feeling overwhelmed because the stimulus of social media and a 24 hours of it is too much for you, we're your people. Because, hi, hello, my name is Jessica Ambrose, and that's why I stepped away from a lot of social media, because I realize it's like the constant, the bam, 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 the constant, like, even the shortness of the videos, it overstimulates me. Even how fast, like, there's new TV shows and movies. Oh, everything is so swiftly.
I have a really good analogy.
Okay.
All other podcasts are iPhones. We're like one of the old phones you had in high school with like a snake on it.
Yeah, we're a flip phone.
We're a flip phone.
We're a razor.
We're a razor. Because we
are. And you can only.
Because we just slow you down and we're just keeping it chill and we're not trying to compete or stay up to date on the latest drops and the this and the that. We're analog, baby. So you come over to mom and dad's house and you just kind of slow down. Baby.
Yeah. Because I can't.
We're just gonna go, I mean, all those technology emails. What's going on with the emails?
I mean, I'm bad at technology. You know this. I can't handle the speed of which everything is happening in 2026 in the past few years. And it really has taken a toll on my mental health. And I think in the podcast years ago, when we would do that, you saw it. It took a serious toll on my mental health. And I also felt like I was going against my like being because I'm just not that way. I'm just slow. When there's like when something comes out and everyone has a quick hot take on it, your mom over here, it's like, give me 4 to 5 business days to think about it and then I'll get back to you. I don't have the hot take.
Right.
I'm a little bit like, I got to process. And so, I think that's just us in general. So guess what? We're probably recapping Love is Blind starting next week. I think starting next week.
Right.
and we're behind, but not too far. It kind of just ended. Yeah, I think the reunion just happened. Okay. So if you all are down to now hear our opinions about that, we would love to have you join us. Our next episode will come out a week from today, so on Friday. And then your dad's going to, he's going to be in Australia.
I'm leaving for Australia.
And then after next week, I think we're going to recalibrate back to like not these Friday episodes anymore. We'll be back to like a Wednesday, like a midweek episode again. But we appreciate your flexibility. And everything we've been requesting of you is every single week. Thanks for the flexibility.
We really are mom and dad because it's like, sorry, can
God,
you?
I get my hair done. We can't make it
can't
this
make
weekend.
It to the birthday.
Oh, we forgot. Sorry.
Can you come to us?
Uh-huh.
Sorry, guys.
So,
I love y'all.
Tune in on Friday next week, and I believe we're starting Love is Blind.
Yes.
I'm not going to make an official promise, but I believe that's happening. So tune in. But also what we would really love to hear is what you all want us to recap. I think there's a bunch of shows. I know there's that like Nick and Natalie show, the age gap show that just came out, which looks pretty wild. I think they have like Farmer's Wife or something, like Farmer Finds a Wife is coming out. And I've heard some people talk about that and that looks wild. You know, the Overboard, the new Alex Cooper dating show. I mean, there's a lot of, stuff that looks really fun. I think, is there a new Love Island? I don't know. So please let us know in the comments what you all would like to see from us, either like now, whether you're like, we're over Love is Blind, I mean, whatever, just give us your thoughts and opinions, and we would really appreciate that as we're continuing on our reality TV recap journey. And that's not going anywhere. The reality recapping is, it's here to stay. But we got to take a quick pause and we'll hop back in. Family, fun fact about me, I guess we haven't had a lot of personal talks these days. Well, lately, I've been trying to be way more intentional about what I buy for my closet. I'm focusing on having pieces that are just really well made and versatile that stand the test of time. That's honestly why I love Quince so much. Their clothes feel elevated, the fabrics are beautiful, the cuts are thoughtful, the pieces are quality, like quality. But the pricing is amazing. You can tell these are the kinds of pieces that were designed to be worn over and over again, and I do. And they use premium fabrics like 100% European linen, silk, and organic cotton poplin, plus those lightweight cotton cashmere sweaters that are perfect for layering when the weather is doing that weird in-between thing. Oh, everything just feels easy to style and super wearable.
Yeah, what's cool about Quince is how they keep the quality high while the price stays reasonable. They work directly with safe, ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're not paying for brand markups or expensive retail stores. You're just paying for really well-made clothing. stitching, and the fabrics are genuinely impressive. Their European linen is breathable but structured. Their cotton poplin stays crisp, and the gauze pieces are soft without feeling flimsy. The stitching, the fit, the materials, everything is built to last season after season. And it's not just us saying that. Quince clothing is consistently rated between 4.5 and 5 stars by thousands of customers, which says a lot about how much people actually love wearing their pieces daily.
I'll say one thing that has become a personal favorite of mine, and that's the Quince cotton cashmere sweater. It's perfection. It's light enough that I can layer it, but it still feels like really luxe. I mean, it is chic, okay? I feel like a movie star on the set of some Riviera in this. I feel glorious in it. And when I saw the price, I genuinely did a double take because it did not cost what I expected a quality cashmere piece to cost, okay? So if you're wanting to upgrade your wardrobe with pieces that actually last, Quince makes it really easy. Oh my gosh, you have to check out their website and just scroll. They have so many gorgeous pieces for whatever you're looking for. Right now, go to quince.com/momdad for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to wear it and love it, and you will. Now available in Canada too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/momdad for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/momdad.
Yeah. Love y'all.
I love you all.
Speaking of that, speaking of loving them all.
Yes.
Could we chat with some...
Can we do a couple call homes?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I miss the family.
I miss this song.
Oh, I miss it too. Abigail Flowers.
Remember, you can always call home.
Here we go.
Hi, Mom and Dad. It's your daughter, Claire. I'm calling in with some boy trouble. First and foremost, I do want it on the record that I love my boyfriend so terribly. It's actually disgusting how in love we are. And his birthday is tomorrow. And
like it's on the record.
I want to celebrate him so bad. It's like, hey, you're my favorite person in the whole world. Of course, I'm going to go above and beyond. I got the supplies so that we could do a spa night at his place tonight.
Ooh.
I took the day off work so that we could spend his whole birthday together. I am currently baking him a cake so that I can be like, hey, love you. Like, I hope you feel celebrated. I bought my first ever set of lingerie for this man so that, like,
oh,
I can be like, hey, it's your birthday. Like, this is a special day for me, too. And my birthday is in a month, and I'm sitting here watching the cake bake in the oven, and I'm like, oh, he's not going to do any of this shit for me. And it is just hurting my feelings. For like context and like pattern recognition, I guess. Our anniversary was in January, and it was just like lackluster. And I had expressed to him beforehand, like, hey, like this is a day that really matters to me. Like, I would like to feel special. Because it was my first time like ever having dated someone for a year. And he didn't get me flowers, even though I had told him ahead of time, like, hey, I really am going to want flowers. Mm-hmm. Like that is kind of a non-negotiable for me. Not like from the materialistic standpoint, but like from the you thought about me standpoint.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
whatever. And then for Valentine's Day, we agreed like we're going to stay home, cook dinner at home, like just hang out and be intentional with spending time together because like we do not want to be braving the Valentine's Day crowds, especially like I have a food allergy. So like the set in stone menus are troublesome. I wanted to take a cute little picture together on Valentine's Day. He didn't have a shirt on the entire time, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna take a picture of you shirtless in your house and then post it so my mommy can see. So that was frustrating for me. And he was like, oh, I thought we were just prioritizing spending time together. And I was like, yeah, well, like I shaved and exfoliated and did my hair and my makeup, and I'm wearing a cute outfit and my expensive perfume. So like clearly there was a little bit of miscommunication in the vibes.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to feel like this on my birthday. I felt like this on my birthday last year, just kind of like, oh, I feel like not celebrated. I feel like kind of misunderstood. And in his defense, we hadn't known each other for 6 months yet. Like, I don't even think I had said I love you yet, but I don't know like what to do. Like, I don't want to get in this fight with him again where I'm like, hey, I want things to matter. Like,
yeah,
because he is such a good boyfriend on every other day except for like big event day. So he's like the best boyfriend ever, 360 days a year. It's just like those five. I don't know if the solution is like I just stop doing the most so it like doesn't feel unfair to me anymore. I really don't know. Like, do I just manage my expectations and like go into it and ask my friends like, hey, I actually need you guys to step it up because this man won't? That's embarrassing to me. So yeah, I don't know, but you guys are much more experienced with relationships than I am, and that you have been in a successful relationship forever and ever and ever. Anyways,
very you successful.
Guys, and I'm looking forward to finishing this season of Traitors so I can finally listen to your recaps. Yeah, love you. Bye.
Okay.
Okay. What are your thoughts? Thank you, Claire.
Yeah. Okay. I have a couple thoughts. Number one is I'm super curious on. If I'm being super duper honest, I feel if I'm just being super real and we're just talking me and you, I do feel like you're kind of like doing this thing where you're like, and my boyfriend is incredible. He's the best boyfriend of all time. But here's one little thing that's bothering me. It's kind of like, no, he's not. He's just a guy. I'm not the greatest husband of all time. He's a good guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. But I also think that maybe you're kind of, like you said, I'm not super experienced in this world. You're kind of maybe, I'm getting the feeling he has too much leash. Like, I'm getting the feeling he's kind of able to do whatever he wants. You praise him for it. You seem like kind of someone who's just incredibly sweet and kind and a giver and just kind of constantly like, you know, saying no to yourself to give to everyone. And so when someone does anything for you, you're almost just like, they're great. A little bit energy. I'm being exaggeratory so that you understand my point. My point is, I think the fact that like you've communicated it and he still doesn't honor it kind of feels like bigger conversations than just as simple as just like, I kind of would be nice to get a cake and he's not doesn't do a cake. I mean, him not putting a shirt on Valentine's Day. I mean, no offense. Like feels a little basic. And I just feel like you
write a note and stick it on his pillow before your birthday. Be like, please wear a shirt on my birthday.
Like you got like cakes and gifts and lingerie and everything for him and he can't put a shirt on. I'm just a little bit, it kind of to me sounds like, and guys, you know, we can be really guilty of pushing everything we can to the limit. So it's like the more leash you give us, we will use it all the way. It feels a little bit like he's got the good life and he's like, I don't have to do anything. A little bit. Now, I'm not, you said in every other aspect he's perfect or whatever. I'm just saying it just sounds a little bit like he's kind of like, I can kind of get away with being not intentional with my girlfriend and I receive no real pushback other than maybe a comment.
Interesting.
I'm just saying, like, I think for starters, you don't do shit for his birthday. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he does, it'd be one thing. It's not like you're, because you do want to celebrate him and you do love him.
Yeah.
But there is this level of like, if you celebrating him will make your hurt worse, I think he needs to kind of understand that like, hey, this is not cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think he needs to know the level at which you value this type of celebration and the fact that like, he won't do it for you no matter how, if you talk to him about it and do it for him. I don't know. I mean, at some point, you know what I mean? Like, he needs to kind of value your comments, your what you say to him.
I'm hearing what you're saying, and I also want to know,
like,
I have some questions for you too.
I'm not saying make him pay, but almost just like, you know, protect yourself.
I was about to say, I'm like, maybe you just do it to him and be like, well, for your birthday I'm not gonna wear a shirt, and I'm like, oh well, he'd like that.
Never mind. Wear the most shirts.
Wear many shirts.
Yeah, wear the most clothes you can wear all your clothes.
Okay. Well, I have some thoughts.
Okay. And quickly, I just want to say, I don't think I'm not like talking. I'm not like being like, oh, he sucks or this or that, or you're too this or that. I'm more just saying like,
you're backtracking.
I'm not backtracking. I'm backtracking a little bit. I feel like I came out a little harsh. More what I'm trying to say is that a lot of guys, don't really care about birthdays and like special events. A lot of guys go, oh, shoot, it's, you know, I got to go buy a thing. That's what happens a lot. Not everybody, but a lot of times what happens is like for them, it's not a big deal. So they don't think about it. For you, it just happens, right? Especially the more life and all this stuff happens. But there is a thing called a partner has stuff that matters to them. Mm-hmm. And so just because you don't care about something doesn't mean you can't for other people. So that's right. Where I think the conversation needs to be had. And he needs to understand that, like, you guys have different values. Now, obviously, if he throws a fit that you don't celebrate him, if he doesn't celebrate you, that's a whole nother issue. But if you don't make a whole big deal about it and he's like, whatever, then it's clearly just a thing of like it's not an important world for him. So he just needs to really be made known clear that it is important to you and that him not doing it is a problem.
What are your thoughts if Claire, you know, because clearly she's told him numerous times.
Be interesting to know how she did it.
This
but yeah.
matters to me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then how would you do it?
Sometimes you got to lay down the law a little harder. You know what I mean? You sound really nice. So you could have been one of those like, you know what's crazy is how much fun flowers are. Like you're hinting, but you're not really just like going, this is fucked up, man. Like you didn't give me flowers on all the events. You didn't give me anything for all the things. Like this is messed up. Like I told you, I hinted at it and I told you multiple times, like where are we missing each other? Yeah. Sometimes you kind of need to lay down the law.
Just so you know, Claire. So you're talking about our relationship, right? Which is perfect. And we never argue.
What's interesting is that, it's so successful.
Like we've been very
successful.
We've
reached the highest levels.
But you're so sweet though. But I'll tell you this, in our relationship, for me personally, gifts aren't something that, I mean, I so appreciate them, but it's not like, oh my gosh, it means everything to me. For me, words.
Yes.
So I want a card. I want a letter.
Yeah.
I don't want a card. I want a letter. So I'll tell you what, over the years, I hinted for a long time at Evan where I'd be like,
I was the letter king, then fell off bad.
Yeah, he was the letter king when we first, you guys, oh my gosh. Fun fact, when we first started dating, when we were in high school, this man would wax. On. He would talk about a romantic letter.
I was like,
which
easy.
Is,
no,
which
no.
can be a thing.
Oh, totally. But no, I fell off hard kind of like the last chunk.
The last 10 years.
That's rude. That's insane.
No, think about how long we've been together.
Yeah, but I did not stop writing you. 10 years. Okay. You know what? This is too far. We're ending the podcast.
No, I'm saying you've been back the past couple years after I talked to you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe about 10 years ago, you kind of like fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had to, at first I hinted and I was like, so, you know, I loved those. Hey, remember this box of letters that I've kept from you?
Like, look at it. Oops.
And I showed like all my like old letters from him. And I hinted. And then I had to just be like super blatant. And I was just like, hey, Evan, I just need you to know. I'm not trying to say that I do not appreciate.
Because I would get you gifts.
I know. And that was the thing. It was like, and that's then when I was struggling. Because I was like, oh my gosh, am I being insensitive?
Sure.
But I also feel like I've made it kind of clear that like, I don't need you to spend any money.
Exactly.
But I would say in a way of like, I don't need you to spend money. I don't want you to spend money. A letter is enough. Instead of just being direct with him and saying, listen, I so appreciate the fact that you will get me gifts and you think of me. I just want you to know what means the most to me is a letter.
Yes.
I don't need any gift. And in fact, I don't even want a gift. I would just love a letter.
Yes.
If it would make you happy to give me a gift, I would love it. But I would also then like a letter because that's the priority.
So
for
be
me.
Honest with him. I mean, I know it sounds like you have, but maybe you haven't been as direct as you thought you have. Because you sound like a really sweet person, and really sweet people think they're being direct when they're not. And I think that happens a lot where it's like, I wouldn't mind if I kind of had this maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like, I told him straight up. And it's like, he's going, what?
Maybe I'm being petty, Claire. So, you know, take this with
it. But not putting this shirt on during Valentine's Day is killing me. It feels like a bit. Like I think he's got a super sweet girlfriend and I think he's kind of just chilling. And I think he probably needs to know like, hey, maybe I'm too relaxed.
This man is thrilled that he's with you, right? He scored. You're an incredible person. Hearing all the things you're doing for this man, it's like blowing my mind. I'm like, wow, I've really, please Claire, stop saying this out loud because I don't want Evan to get any ideas over here. But you just seem so wonderful. Maybe I'm being petty, but I'm a little bit like, for this upcoming birthday of his, like, pull back. I know you've planned all those things.
Yeah.
Maybe set it aside. Maybe the cake. Do the cake because you already made that. But like the spa, the lingerie, maybe set that aside for another time when he deserves it. Because maybe then it's a little bit of like a hint of like, hey, if we're not going to do this. And you know what, too? Like you said, you were saying maybe I then have these expectations, but I don't know. I don't feel like you're really asking. I think I agree with what Evan said. I think having a conversation is really important, being super direct, and maybe pull back the effort so you're not then feeling like you're doing so much.
Yeah.
Because then that's going to like eat away at you, unless it's what brings you joy. If you want to do it and that's what brings you joy, then do that and be you fully who you are and do it for you. Yeah. But I don't know. I definitely think
protect yourself emotionally and going out of your way to do all the special stuff to get little to no reaction and no reciprocation can create more resentment and anger than it fixes and feels good.
My thing too is, obviously like you were saying, you know, you love him, you adore him, he's amazing, but just something to, you know, think about is, you know, you two, I don't think, have been together for a super long time. And the fact that he's not doing anything now.
Like, it's not going to get better.
It's more, I mean, you never know. People change.
It's not like it's going to ramp up.
But I think it's something to think about now where it's like, okay, right now it's holidays.
Yeah.
But if you don't get a handle on it now, it can extend to your relationship in general. If one day you all are interested in having kids, it can be extending into like, you know, helping out with, you know, the amount of parenting. There's just a lot of things, not to freak you out, but it's just more like to wrap your head around the fact that, like, you know, you're a fucking catch, and like, he better step up.
Yeah, I agree.
Best of luck.
We know it's like a multi-leveled thing. Not as easy as just simply, you know, here's some flowers.
And sorry if we were being too harsh about it, but I want you. You just sound like such an amazing person that I'm like, this guy needs to step it up.
Yeah.
Need that for you. Put the shirt on in all the ways. Next.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hello.
This is your daughter, Chelsea. Ontario, California. I am a fan since day one. I'm an OG broad turned family member. Yeah, whatever, it works. I love you guys, and I'm going to be a fan forever because you guys are awesome. And my boyfriend and I, we want a marriage just like yours.
Gosh,
even though
so
things
nice.
Aren't perfect, it looks beautiful from our perspective. Thank you. And that's what we want. And I think that's what we will achieve. And actually, my question is about the two of us. So I just turned 31. My boyfriend's 32. We're going to be moving in together in about 2 months from now. We're both like really excited about it. We just hit a year of being together, but we're very confident and secure to know that we want to be together forever. We know that we are each other's person.
When you know, you know.
And my question is about the moving in process. So I've been worried because I'm a pink girly pop. My whole bedroom, my whole life, I'm pink. I'm literally just like Chelsea from Love is Blind, you know, when her whole kitchen pink, her whole apartment was pink. That's my dream come true. But I know that that's probably not going to happen. I wonder what she did because I don't know what I'm going to do. I have Wicked posters. I have
Barbies
that I've collected. I'm a theater kid, so I have framed playbills.
Yeah.
So I'm just nervous about losing myself in this moving in process because I'm not going to make my boyfriend live in this pinktopia because I have a heart. But he is so wonderful and loving. We're going to be turning the guest bedroom into a shared office/gaming space. So I know that a lot of like my little collectibles and stuff will go in there. But, you know, I have a pink side table. That's definitely coming with me. I think I need advice on what does the compromise look like when moving in together. And he has like this horribly ugly dark gray bedspread with non-matching brown sheets. Like,
that's gotta go.
Obviously, that's gonna go. But I can't be bringing my Juicy Couture pink and black frilly bed set. So what do we do about that? What color scheme should we go for? What is meeting in the middle in terms of colors and decor? Mm-hmm. And what should I do with some of my things that I have? I know he has told me that he's cool, totally cool with like my theater posters and stuff in the bedroom because they're not girly. And I got him into theater. He's obsessed with Wicked because of me.
I wish.
So I know it's not going to all be worrisome, but I don't know. It's hard. I've never lived with a boy before. I'm excited, but I'm also really nervous about it. And also boys are gross and I'm just freaking out about that too. So Jess, if you could give me some advice on how you dealt with Evan's possible grossness. Sorry, Evan, if you're not gross. I'm just assuming that because you're a dude.
Yeah.
But forgive me if you're not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean you're gross. Just like
you're forgiven.
Guy things, you know?
Wrap it up.
How do I tell him to please not do that without strangling him in his sleep? You know?
I get it.
Yes.
The obvious ones. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. And I love you both.
Love you. Love you so much. This is a great question, too, because great I do question. Think this is a very... Even if you're not, I know that you are like a pink goddess.
Right.
But I think even I mean,
Juicy Couture bedspread, she's...
That's hot. That's right, fire. Right.
Awesome. But I get it. She's polarizing. She's not someone who just has some pink.
Yes.
She's living in a Barbie apartment.
Yeah. Partying the Barbie apartment, babes. Yeah. Even if someone, though, isn't as extreme, I think this is a pretty common feeling of like when you're moving together, unless for some reason you end up meeting a partner who has the exact same taste as you, merging
it's a thing.
Tastes and lifestyles is a very interesting concept.
And you don't have a mild taste. You have a very polarizing taste.
I would... You're talking about these theater posters in the bedroom. You're giving me ideas now.
Yeah, right.
I'm just like, can we get our Hades Town?
Right. Because I'm trying to think. I'm thinking for me, like, I love interior design and I love like taste and I love all that stuff. But I'm actually thinking if I was with someone who had your taste, it's like everything's pink in theater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to like, there's two ways to go about this. Like one way is that he doesn't really care about interior stuff, but he's just a dude and he's like, whatever, I don't care, put the mattress on the floor type vibes. So then you have a lot more leeway. You just got to be careful of like probably going too girly where he's like, okay, I can't be like in a pink room. So you got to pick your points, you know. You could still make it you maybe just like get more into the Wicked green, you know what I mean? Like get away from the pink, because dumb guy brain can just be like, pink girl, this is too much, I can't do it. But if you kind of trick him, you know what I mean? And you pick the greens.
I think we need to have a PowerPoint where we talk about how we've associated gender and color. And you're like, this is not pink, does not mean feminine. Okay.
But play into that though. You know, do the green bedspread to represent Wicked. Make the walls, you know what I mean? I don't know, blue to be the sky. I'm just saying, like, make it an interesting thing.
What?
I don't know. I'm thinking in terms of like, be creative about how you get what you want in there without it being the most obvious choice so that he doesn't feel like he's lost himself as well.
Sure. Yeah. Because I was going to say, I'm like, maybe when I was hearing Chelsea talk, I was like, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's literally just like, do whatever you want. And like, you know, some people are like, you can decorate it however you want. This place can be a pink palace and I could care less. But then she noted that he said, I'm okay with the musical posters in the bedroom.
Because there is a difference of decorate it however you want. And then like, I'm moving into your brain. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And your brain is a very intense, colorful palette of things that I'm not into.
And I will say,
it'd be like if it was like, yo, you could decorate how you want. And the person's like, cool, the whole thing's Spider-Man cave. You're like, okay. You're like, I meant more like, you know, are you going to go to West Elm or are you going to, you know what I mean? Like,
always article, first of all.
That's true.
I'm like, that I can give you help with, Chelsea.
Yes.
Always check out article. But I do think that, I do think too, there's an interesting concept with a lot of people too will say when they move in, I don't care how you decorate.
But they do.
Because I'm saying this because I'm one of those people. Because when Evan and I first got married, I don't have like I'm not as great of an interior design eye as Evan. And so when we first moved in, I was like, I honestly, Evan, well, I do, but I'm like, honestly, Evan, you can decorate it however you want to decorate it. And so I was like, you go for it. And so Evan decorated it. And
I was young and my taste was not as developed.
But you did a great job. It was just all
it was
very,
a lot of browns,
like
a lot of
wood.
It was very, I hate what I did now. Hate it.
But it still was done nicely.
It was done nice for a guy's house.
But I remember after, like, at first I walked in, I was like, oh my God, Evan, you did such a gorgeous job. Right. But then after a week of living there, I was like, this is not, I'm like, I want to change stuff.
Like, am I a blacksmith?
So I do the,
am I making swords?
It'd be a great place to do D&D.
It would have been a great place for that. I didn't mean to make like a Lord of the Rings house, but I kind of did, to be honest. Looking back, it was a mistake.
Okay, I have a few more thoughts about this. But we have to take one more quick pause. And listen, ironically, we're talking about decoration. We're talking about how to furnish your new home. If you're going to furnish your new home and you want the best indoor and outdoor furniture, okay, there's no question. It's article.com.
Yes.
It's article.com, baby. You know how much we're obsessed with article.com. They make it so easy to create a home that feels stylish without needing to be an interior designer, which is huge for me. Like I was just talking about, their collections are super curated, lots of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandinavian inspired pieces. And the nice thing is everything pairs together really easily, so you can mix pieces and your space still feels so cohesive. And let me tell you, when we first started shopping Article years ago, the quality was the first thing I noticed. Like when our Article pieces arrived, the packaging alone was impressive, but once we opened everything, you could immediately feel the craftsmanship, the weight of the furniture, the smooth edges, the sturdy hardware. It just feels solid and well made. And let me tell you what, we've had a lot of our Article pieces for years, and they have stood the test of time, the test of kids, the test of dogs on top of them. I mean, all of it. And they really, really stand.
They're amazing. Yeah. Article is really intentional about what they sell. They don't have thousands of random products. Mm-hmm. They curate a collection of high quality pieces that are designed to last. And you can genuinely tell when the furniture arrives. A lot of the pieces come mostly assembled, which I very much personally appreciate. Mm-hmm. And the build quality stands out right away. The joints feel secure. The finishes are smooth. Everything just feels really thoughtfully made. Another thing that's great is how easy the whole process is. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the US and Canada. And if you want help putting everything together, they even offer professional assembly. And if you're not sure what would look best in your space, their customer care team is available 7 days a week. And they even offer free interior design services.
And the thing that made me feel really confident when first ordering from them is that they have a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. But honestly, we got our first Article piece, and then after, we got a couch from them, and then a dining room table, and then chairs, and then a side table, et cetera, because we were so, so happy with our first purchase, and we continue to be thrilled. So I'm guessing that you'll love it just as much as we do. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/momdad, and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's article.com/momdad for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Okay, so back to the pink of it all with Chelsea. So, okay, my thought is, and I know it's just super straightforward, but I think you can do a really, really fun design job mixing pink elements into it. Like, I think pink is such a fun pop of color. Let's just say you want to do kind of like a mid-century modern style, right? Like that pink side table would look so sick with, like, you know, maybe another base color that's happening, and you have your pink as kind of your highlight color throughout your pop of color everywhere. And I think too, like the cool musical theater posters and everything, well, like you put up a, you know, two musical theater posters and then a couple other random pieces of artwork in like a fun collage.
Yeah,
that looks great.
Gotta dress it up.
Or just
to have the pill go down, you got to put it in a hot dog. You know what I'm saying? So the pink is inside the hot dog, but you can't just go, here's pink. You got to find a way to keep your soul in it.
Yeah.
But make it you know, disguise it a little bit.
And I think that you can do it in a way that really keeps your soul in it, where you'll walk in and feel like this feels fresh. And it feels, I would imagine pink is like such a bright color. So then I would imagine then the rest of your interior designing can be like, it feels light and bright and like lighthearted.
Yeah.
But have like those fun pops of pink. And I feel like you totally won't lose yourself. And then the fact that you said that you guys have an office that you're using like as a gaming room, I like, you split that thing down the center and you can put all of your trophies and you can make it such a fun, like, don't get rid of the Juicy Couture. Don't get rid of the Juicy Couture bedspread. You can like put that in some like cool plastic box as like a display with like the Juicy Couture. And that's like a fun memory for you.
You should look up, and I'm sure you already know this, you should look up maximalism interior design. I think this is how you get away with it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, I like maximalism.
Because maximalism is that idea that like just there's stuff everywhere, but it's all curated and looks really good where it should be, but it's chaotic in a way. Mm-hmm. That's how you get away with it. So it's like you have 15, you know, frames on a wall and they all maybe have vintage looks or cool. But then in a, you know, is like theater stuff. Yeah. Or whatever. So you kind of like you mix this world of like a chaotic or like all your collectibles and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
It's like you have them in a way that it's chaos, and but it's controlled chaos where it's like all the collectibles mm-hmm. are there. But it's on like a cool pink vintage dresser or like old, you know, like an old cool, you know, like shelf casing that makes it look interesting, not just like. There's a collectible, you know, yeah. like disguise, like hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
I think that might be a good way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think there's fun ways too. It's like, oh, you got a coffee table. Don't make the coffee table pink, but like you can get all a bunch of pink coffee table books.
Exactly.
On your, and it's like a cool,
right.
It's got like a cool edge to it too, I think. I don't know. As far as moving in with a guy and it being gross, I think the best way to prepare for any sort of change like that is before you move in, have a fun, cute little night out meeting together and make it specific. Like, okay, this Saturday, you and I, we're having a meeting. We're having a meeting of the minds and you will drive separately. We'll meet at this bar. We'll have a glass of wine and we're going to discuss our boundaries.
I like this.
And I think it's a little bit like, before you move in, you put down like that. These are the things that I need. These are the things that I cannot deal with. Right. So if you're like, hey, I'm super particular about like the sink being clean, it grosses me out if there's toothpaste in the sink. Right. Then that's something that you can have with your little list. Like these are the things. Right. And I think that then you are then clearly communicating to him, if you do this, it's going to gross me out. And so I'm going to have free rein to look at you and be like, I already told you that grosses me out. Please stop doing it. Right. Yeah. He already knows. And then he also has free rein to come with his documentation and be like, I need this. I need to make sure that the bed is made. So I'm going to make the bed.
I like your idea of going. You should go room to room.
Yeah.
You should go room to room. You should sit down with a pen and paper and go room to room. All right. What does the bedroom look like?
Yeah.
What do we like? What do we need? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. I need the bed made. Cool. Okay, cool. What does the bathroom look like? What's important to me? Cool. What's our game room look like? How does that look? Mm-hmm. Okay. Controllers ever like, you know what I mean? Oh, I don't really care. I was like, I don't. Okay, yeah. Cool. Whatever. Dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you guys talk about.
And
I like,
yeah. And it's a fun little almost game. Dishes in the sink. Does it bother you? Yes. No. Maybe. And we have a little like check
depends,
mark.
Whatever.
Depends.
Yeah.
Right. Because then you might find out that you both are like, we don't really care about dishes in the sink. So that's something that, you know, we can get to and the other person isn't going to feel stressed if they're sitting in the sink for like the night or
it's like
whatever.
I cook, you clean energy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You guys just work it out.
Yeah, a partnership.
But the more that you actually get ahead of this, the better.
So that you're not resenting
him for leaving his shit everywhere. And then he's resenting you for always breathing down his neck about it. Like, but you guys never talked about it. So there's this thing. But if you talked about it, then there's like a, hey, you're going back on your word.
Yeah. And then I think as far as in the grossness goes, you're going to then feel like it's a little more controlled going in, being like, he knows that I'm grossed out by this. And it's not even like I've been seeing you doing that and it grosses me out.
Right.
It's a pre-gross out. It's like you're not even taking it personally. Like, it grosses me out when people do this.
Right.
So can you not do that?
So talk mad shit on people who do the thing you're afraid he's going to do so that he subconsciously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes, of course.
But congratulations.
Yeah, very exciting.
I'm very happy for you both. And
maybe just put a pink light in a room somewhere so that when he's gone, you can just turn it on and bzzz and just soak up the pink energy. You know
it's not
I mean?
A bad idea. Meditation. It's not a bad idea.
Pink meditation time.
I like it. I like it. Next.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hello.
This is Lindsay calling in from Virginia. I just wanted to say, love your podcast so much.
Aw, love you.
You guys are hilarious. You make my week better every week. So thank you for all that you do. So I'm coming in today with the hard-hitting questions. Okay. My question for you is, what color is math? Now listen, I have heated debates about this question all the time. I get so many different answers from people that I ask.
Okay.
To me, there is one obvious answer, but I will not say it because I'm so curious to hear what you guys say. So that's all from me today. Again, love you both. Love your podcast. And yeah, bye.
I love this question. Okay, hold on a second. Don't say what you think.
I don't even think anything. I don't even know what's happening.
Well, I think this is like, synesthesia?
Isn't that like a music thing?
Yeah, where like when you hear something, it's a certain color. Okay. I think that's the same thing with like certain words and topics. Like some people see like, oh, that's that when I hear that, it's yellow and it's orange.
Okay, go ahead. You go first.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what it is in a second. I want to say my brain says math should be like blue or green, but my immediate body says it's red. I hear math and I go red. And even though it's twisting me up because I'm like, when I think red, I think the color of passion and all this and like romance. But that's just like what's, you know, what culture has assigned. Math feels red to me.
Mm.
Math feels red to me.
Okay. I'm going to go in a little different direction. I'm going to say it's something like gray because it's not... Like when I think color,
because it's dreary,
I think dynamic.
Okay.
I think emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think natural. When I think math, I think there's right and wrong. You know what I mean? You're like, there's no, it's completely objective.
Okay.
So there's no, it's not like, you know what I'm saying? I don't think about it. I know if you're a mathematician, you can be creative with math. You can use math creatively. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the actual math itself is not really a creative, right? So it's like, it's just like right and wrong. So, I think about a little bit of anxiety, you know what I mean? Because I don't love math. I use it, but I don't love it. It's not something I just like, ooh, it's fun. So I also think gray doesn't give me like...
It feels a little like, oh, yeah, it's a dreary.
Exactly. It's dreary. So for me, it's that. It's kind of like, I don't think it has a true color. I think it's just kind of like, you know, that vibe.
Yeah.
Red is crazy.
Well, I mean,
red's bananas.
I don't know what to tell you.
Because red is literally the color of passion.
I know, but.
And you're like.
But Evan, think about that. Hasn't that been put on us by society and culture?
Oh God, what are you even talking about?
I'm saying red.
You look at it, it makes you feel something.
Yeah, but that's
because
it's like...
When you look at calculus, you feel nothing but... I know what you feel. Anxiety and hate.
Yeah, okay? I know. And that's what I'm saying. So in my brain, I want it to be kind of like...
Well, I guess it's a negative passion.
Like a drearier color. But I think maybe it's like a ray. I don't know. It's like it's an intense... I have an intense feeling when I think about math.
Yeah, so I guess red passion, right? Love or hate.
You know what also I think it is now that I'm like processing? When I was young, I don't know how yours were, but the math worksheets that they always gave me, it was on a white piece of paper and all the math was red. It was like the questions were all in red.
Yeah, which is
and
scary.
So maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Is like when I see it, I see the division problem and it's red. And so in my brain, I'm like,
interesting.
Yeah. Well, synesthesia is incredible. How wild.
Yeah.
I figured out the other day, everybody, my brain exploded because I did not know that people like the idea of picturing, like if you say think of an apple,
yeah,
I don't picture an apple. I don't see it in my head.
What do you see? The word?
It's not even the word. It's just like it just is the thought. I just like know apple. It's just is. It's almost like
if I say dog. What did you see?
I just go dog. Like, there's no seeing of anything. what is it called?
I don't know why I'm kind of getting angry.
Why?
It's like, what are you talking about? You don't, you either see the word or you see a dog. You don't, what do you
mean? What is it? What is it?
I just know dog. What does that even, of course we all know dog.
What is it called when you don't picture things in your head? Aphantasia.
That sounds like someone made it. Aphantasia.
Aphantasia.
What is that?
Aphantasia. It's the inability to voluntarily create mental images in your head is called aphantasia. People with this condition sometimes referred to as having a blind mind's eye. So I don't have a mind's eye. My mind's eye has keratoconus.
Dead inside. Is another way to say it.
Cannot visualize scenes, objects. Okay, but here's my thing.
You're very creative.
No, it doesn't mean that you're not creative.
It'd be hard to be creative if you can't visualize anything.
But think about this, okay? For me, if you were like, picture an apple.
No, you can
like,
picture an apple,
I can do it, but I will say, tell you that it lasts for like 2 seconds and it's gone. Like I have to sit there and be like, apple, apple,
strange.
Apple. Picture it. Like it's just like a word or a thought.
Well, I'm not sitting there all of a sudden, it's like, I see an apple and it's floating. It's more just like, I think about an apple for a second.
But when you think, when I say apple, you picture it in your head?
Just for a second.
Okay. But you picture something in your head.
Yeah, like a red apple. Okay.
I don't. Yeah. Which is when I was looking into it, was starting to, people were talking about, oh, when you read.
Right.
Because I love these fantasy books.
Right, right.
And it's
are
like,
are you not picturing the people and the things?
No.
What are you doing?
Like, if I sit
Why do you care about it, though? You're just, like, reading words on a page that mean nothing.
If I sit there and, like, think about it, I'm like, he needs to have, he can't be blonde.
Sure.
Because I can't do it with a blonde guy. There's that.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I don't, like.
So what are you thinking about when you're reading this?
I'm thinking about the feeling. Like, feel it.
So it's a feeling thing.
It's like, oh, I feel it so much. And I think, too, that's
maybe
why.
Maybe that's more what it is that your feelings are so hyper aware that like you don't need to picture as much versus people who need to picture it more to feel it.
But I think that I've never pictured it, so maybe that's why my feelings have become so hyper aware, because I've had to, I don't know. And then the other thing,
very strange.
Hey, please shout out in the comments if you also have aphantasia. I don't have, like, there's different levels of it. Like I said, I can picture an apple in my head if I like make myself. There are some people who just can't.
Yeah,
I'm not.
What's
quite
that, what's the land that's underground in the ocean?
Atlantis,
yeah. If you're from Atlantis and you have aphantasia, please.
What are you talking
about?
It just
sounds like a new ride at Disneyland.
I just didn't realize that people actually pictured things. I didn't realize that it was like something that like
this
you
is
did.
The most you thing in the entire world. To even like identify this is a thing that people do, and then you kind of dive into your. This is what makes you so unique, is that just this.
Why
self,
do I feel like this is
just this self exploration? No, it's really not. This amount of self exploration.
Yeah, I'm very
self
exploratory.
Truly incredible, and something I could connect so little with.
I know, but you know what?
I just think about stuff and go, oh, whatever. But to think like I'm going to go down this rabbit hole, very interesting.
Well, if I were to picture myself as an animal, I know that I come off like hyper, but it's because of my anxiety.
Right.
If I were to picture myself as an animal, I'd be a mole. I go underground and I just, and I'm alone.
Right.
And so I'm in my little, I'm like a little mole. How cute. I'm a little mole.
Yeah.
And I'm in my little molehill alone.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about like, stuff. Well, what about
I don't do that? Other people, other moles do that?
And I'm constantly just like therapizing myself 24/7.
Interesting.
But I came across this concept because I saw something on TikTok and someone was like, who had aphantasia was like, I just found out that some people actually picture. And then I'm like, wait, what? And then I was, and then I found my aphantasia community. But also the other thing is
we are strong.
The other thing is that I didn't know is that some people actually hear a voice in their head.
Right. This is another thing.
I've talked to you about this before, where it's like you actually like hear a voice talking
kinda,
to you. No, I'm saying you are kind of, but a lot of people actually like shout out in the comments. I need to know. I need to get percentages. I want this to be like a study. How many of you, and I did not know that this was actually a thing, hear like on a regular basis when you're walking around the house, like you hear yourself in your head talking. I do not hear a voice in my head. Like, I do not. I just, I have the thought.
Right.
I am nonstop mind grinding. I'm thinking 24/7 to a point that's like probably unhealthy where I'm grinding, but I don't have an actual voice in my head. It's just like thoughts, 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 but there's no voice.
Right.
But you get that sometimes.
Well, it's like, I just think it's like this. Oh, come on. Yeah, you may go make sure that we go to the thing.
But you hear something.
That's kind of how I'm talking to myself, is it's like I'm not using my actual voice, but I'm like, I'm talking to myself without verbally doing it.
But I'm saying, but you can hear the voice
here
in your head.
Here is such a difficult thing. Here, no. But like, so feel like my voice.
That's what I'm saying. But you don't hear something.
It's like, the voice is getting right to it.
Yeah.
And then it never comes out.
But you don't hear Evan in your head going, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. You don't hear an actual voice. You just feel the voice.
I think that's what everyone does, because you can't hear something that's not audibly being.
There are, this is what I'm telling you. This is why it's mind blowing.
I think people are experiencing relatively the exact same thing. People are just vocalizing it differently. So some people are going, I hear it. But then no one actually hears a voice that's not being audibly spoken. So you're just, everyone's kind of feeling it the same way. It's just,
there are tons of people out there. I think it's like half and half. Like half of the community is hearing an audible, loud voice.
You can't audibly hear a voice that's not being spoken.
Maybe you don't feel that way.
I think there's a group of people that are saying, yeah, I hear it. But they actually don't hear it. And the people that don't hear it are hearing it in the same way the other people are. They're just miscommunicating.
Those people would disagree with you.
Okay.
Those people would disagree with you.
Well, I'm perfectly in the middle then. I mean, I'm bridging the two communities so that there's no more, so there's no more fighting. I'm bringing everyone together.
You're taking away the truth from the other community because the other community is like, no, I hear. Like I talked to my mom the other day. My mom is like, I hear a loud, actual voice in my head all the time.
She doesn't, because no one's saying anything. You are not bridging the community. No, what I'm saying is that she hears it. That's how she's explaining it, so that she can understand what is happening in her brain. I'm hearing it.
I just want all of you out there to know who actually hear the voice in your head that I believe you and I know you are hearing that voice. Do I hear it? No, but I know you are. So I just want you to know that I'm there for you and I don't deny what you feel like your father does over here.
I think you all understand what I'm saying and I think you all know I'm right. So I guess that's fine. I love you all.
Okay, listen,
So we spent about 2 seconds on your question. And then talked about something else for 15 minutes. Very fun.
I'm so very sorry. I wanted to do more call home questions, but I'm now looking at the time.
Yeah.
And we're recording this in the morning.
Yeah.
And I got to take Miss Ember to set.
Yes.
So
we love you all very much.
Unfortunately, we can't take another question, but we will continue to do call homes per usual. Yes. We'll have our call home.
I could do call homes for,
I know,
7 hours.
Let us know if you want more call homes, because we really like doing them.
It's so fun.
But we love you all. Hey, family, it's your future mother and father again. This is actually kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. We should do this more often. It's almost like how people, when they watch their own movies and do commentary. It's kind of like that.
It's like you're in the past, and now I guess we're not future. We keep saying future. If we're present, mom and dad. That's past mom and dad. This is present. But technically,
if it wasn't confusing already.
We just wanted to pop in at the outro and say thank you for going along with us during this kind of bumpy all over the place ride. I know that we kind of Frankenstein this together. We appreciate your flexibility. But we had enjoyed this episode that we had recorded, but we wanted to make sure that, we talked about what was currently going on. We love you all. We know love that you. The past few days in pop culture has been upsetting. And just know that we love you all, and we are going to step into something new together next week.
Yes.
And try to have some lighthearted good times together. And we love you. See you next week.
Bye.